Well, hello and welcome everyone to Ask the Experts on Learn TV. Today we're speaking to a really cool startup called Icera, and we are very fortunate to have their co-founder and CEO Mudu on the line all the way from Bangalore, India. How are you doing today, Mudu?
Thank you, Bob. Thanks for having me. And Jenny, thanks for having us as a part of the show.
Yeah, it's very exciting. So, and we've had a chance to chat a little bit before before we went live here. So I'm very excited to learn all about Icera and your solutions and how you're using AI in some unique ways. Perhaps you could start by just explaining a little bit about Icera and what your product is and just kind of kick things off here.
Sure. Thanks, Bob. And first of all, I want to give a shout out to all the first responders and everybody helping us keep doing what we do. So given the COVID situation, so thank you. And thanks to all the frontline workers and everybody to helping us. With this, again, Icera is a startup company. We are based in Palo Alto. We are just over a little over 3 years now. What Icera does is it provides solutions to automate customer service support, both for external users and for employees, for help desk and service desk, et cetera. The way in which we automate is that's where we use our algorithms, our AI and NLP, our unique sauce to automate the request handling so that this whole process of user asking a question to user having a problem to resolving it, can this be done? Like, as you are asking, Bob, as ask the expert, we want to be ask the expert as an algorithm. So algorithm is ask the expert. Hopefully, in the next time, we'll have the algorithm talking to you than me.
Well, I don't know. You're doing a pretty good job. I don't know if an algorithm is going to replace you that quickly, but I definitely see what you're saying. And I agree completely. I feel so fortunate that, I'm okay here during these insane times with COVID and everything. I mean, how has that really affected your business and the need for this kind of a solution?
No, I mean, for us, I think, look, we were also initially very apprehensive when the whole thing started almost close to a year now, right?
Yeah.
Fortunately for us, our businesses did well because, see, I call this is a future of work. Because what happened is when people went into remote working environment, you really don't have a human to interact and get things done. Or sometimes you may want to do it at late hours, early morning, when you're teaching your kids or when you're cooking food for your family, right? So what happened is people really wanted a solution where you're sitting on Microsoft Teams or you are sitting on your platform where you are able to ask and get the things done. Let's say you're blocked on your SharePoint is not working, your Dynamics CRM is not working, or you want to get your Azure service for network and compute. You can get those things done by posing a question or asking for an action. The question does not have to be a question. It could be a workflow. So what we kind of designed the system, the pandemic actually helped us accelerate. And I call this is going to be the future work. For next 5-10 years, people will say, look, I'm going to get most common repetitive tasks and workflows done through algorithm if it can. And whenever I don't, I'll go to the human. Right. I mean, this human is always going to be there. And these algorithms will get better. And I actually call it, Bob, I know you didn't ask this question, but I call it shadow the user. Like we are asking the expert, the algorithm, what we designed is we shadow the user and shadow the agent. So by looking at the expert, the algorithm should learn.
That's really interesting. I've got like 3 or 4 questions just now thinking about all this. It's great. I mean, just to back up a bit, what you're saying is that where people used to seek support, maybe from calling a phone, making a phone call, speaking with somebody, maybe waiting on hold a bit, and then getting routed to the right person. How does that look now from an interaction point of view? They're in Teams, or where? Like, is this textual chat? Does it work in other platforms as well?
Absolutely. So good question. So I think the interaction to our service, the front end is, I call it omni-channel. So we still provide phone support. So there are people who will say certain percentage of your requests come through phone. Email is still prelevant. I would say 20-30% requests still go through email. And the remaining will come through what I call web/chat conversations. Mm-hmm. And chat could be through Teams. So, but what I'm seeing is Microsoft team is going exponential growth when it comes to help desk and employee. So employee request for internal to IT, HR, legal, finance in those areas, they predominantly tend to be much more in Microsoft Teams. But when it comes to external service and support, they tend to be a lot more still phone, email, and web.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so it is all shape and forms you have to support.
So can you talk a little bit more then about the AI behind this? Because we're like all of a sudden you're answering questions that and handling, it sounds like a very wide spectrum of requests that might come from users. How does that work?
Yeah, so I'll give you, I'll give you an idea of what we built here, and there may be other ways to do it. In our case, what we did is first is the system is designed. The ICR services has two flavors. I call it AI service desk and AI customer service. The external service solution and internal. So what we do is the external service solution will look at your existing workflows. It looks at your existing knowledge base. It's almost like reading a book. So Bob, I come to your home and you're going to say, look, here is my knowledge base. The same knowledge base that you give it on your SharePoint or on Confluence or your website, the same material that you give it to your customer support, call center, service desk people. As they read the thing, we made our algorithm actually read that. They actually analyze all those documents. That process is called NLP or NLU, natural language processing. So our algorithms are designed to process those algorithms. That approach we took is called unsupervised. So there are two schools of thought, a supervised approach where you sit and train on every part of the language and the words and verb, intent, etc. Or you take the unsupervised approach where you throw all the content and let the algorithms learn and then iterate on it with talking to users. So we took the unsupervised approach. By taking that approach, we pre-crawl the content that you provide us, process them, and it can learn that content from the knowledge base, I said, or it could be historical cases. It could be historical customer support cases, right? It could be also the live agent logs. Like imagine Teams, there's an interaction happened between you and a user for last 10 days. So that we will process that information too. Or it could be conversation logs that happen on an IVR, on a phone conversation, a call script. So we take all the data from everything. Out of that, we derive what is the question, what is the intent people are asking, what is the resolution that the agent has applied. So the system will try to build that whole thing using your knowledge graph. The within unsupervised, again, how you build those knowledge graphs using graph algorithm and Markovian, stochastic, there's a Bayesian algorithm. So you got to apply a class of what I call ensemble of different algorithms, try to build that to provide a good knowledge base on. And even to get started this, you need to have a basic ontology first. So like you have to have your vocabulary. Ontology is like your dictionary, right?
Right.
So within a given language, again, we support multiple languages. Like we support close to 70 languages in Japanese, English, Spanish, right? Chinese. So within that same language, you need to give me an ontology. Also, I need to understand because maybe you are a banking customer. So for banking customer, an ontology is different from a high-tech company versus a manufacturing company or a transportation company. So we come up with our own ontologies in the product today, and we can also read the customer ontologies to augment that. And then based on that, we create all these knowledges to do it. So then what happens is the next thing is when you ask this question through these channels, first we need to understand your question. What are you asking? What is the problem that you are facing? Interpret the meaning of that question, and that is called the intent. And then figure out what is the right action you have to take for that. The action could be actually performing a full workflow. So then in that case, it's not a knowledge. You are really running. That is where I use the word called conversational RPA. Stands for robotic process automation. So maybe you need to do a complex workflow. So Bob's request may be to operate that I may have to do 10 steps to get the job done. So that's kind of the technology that we kind of build in this. It has a conversation AI piece. It has a common RPA piece. So we understand the meaning, if it is, and perform the action, if it requires a workflow. If it requires a knowledge serving, we serve the appropriate knowledge to the user.
That's great. Now, what happens when a human has to get involved. Like if a live, maybe I'm asking a question, how would, maybe I ask for a live agent, does that come up, or does this handle the problems most of the time? And no, if it's necessary to escalate to a person, how does that dynamic work?
Absolutely. Look, I think there's always going to be what I call exception path you have to allow, right? There may be cases where what we say may not, user may not like it for whatever the reason. Sometimes our answers may not be right, right? And maybe our answers did not resolve exactly what the users are looking for. So we always provide an option for a user to either escalate to a live agent. Mm-hmm. And again, that depends on every company. Some companies may want to go to live agent first, Bob. Some companies actually wanted to open up a case or a ticket first, and only after that want to go to the live agent. So mm-hmm. these are configurable options we provide. So we leave that choice to each of our customers to decide what is the experience they want to provide to their users. That is, when we don't answer it, would you like them to get a live agent on the call?
Sure.
Or would they like to open up a case and a ticket and then live agent, or do both in parallel and then provide that? So, but we support all of that as a live use case. And what happens is we actually listen in that conversation. When we make a mistake, now we are monitoring that conversation. So think of like a driverless car, right? In autonomous car, you are sitting, a driver is sitting in the steering wheel behind. And when the car is making a mistake or correct, the car is actually learning from the driver. So what we are doing, the same thing is the live agent transaction happening between the live agent and the user. We are actually shadowing that conversation as well.
Wow. So then maybe you're improving over time.
It is.
One of our viewers asked actually what kinds of KPIs or metrics do you use in measuring the effectiveness of your escalations from AI to the live agent?
Very good. So first is very high level. The metrics are, some people call them, the use word deflection and resolution. The question is, how many requests can we deflect? So the KPIs that people look for is, how many requests from each channel can we deflect? How many through email, how many through phone and web? And then the second is, how many of them requests are actually escalated to a live agent? Or how many of them are escalated to create a ticket? So then the question is, what is, and the other KPI people monitor is, has the number of tickets per month coming down? Because once you have these things, you don't manage your customers through take a ticket, right? And other thing, the metric they look for is the KPIs MTTR. What is the mean time to resolution? Has that come down drastically, right? And other KPI that as an organization, people always monitor is how much cost have you reduced on this, right? See, so far we talked about experience to the user and customer satisfaction, CSAT, NPS, those metrics. The other metric that as an organization our customers are tracking is, how do we eliminate the cost of the entire support as a part of digital transformation?
Right, right. That makes a lot of sense. So another viewer question, what IT resources can you provide to support the migration and integration of AI into a customer service solution?
Probably what IT resources you said, Bob?
Yeah, and I'm sort of thinking this is that was the way the viewer asked, but I also think it's a great question because I had it in my mind as well. So it's really about the migration of this AI into a customer service solution. So if somebody has a customer service, I know some questions I had. You were talking about how some of your customers are different. So some of them want a help ticket right away. Some of them you talk to a person at first. Some of them you talk directly to a bot, maybe, or I don't know if you call it a bot, but you do a chat with the service and you get escalated, perhaps only if necessary, to an agent. There's the training aspect of shadowing and analyzing because, you know, maybe different companies do different things, so their service desk is going to be different. So I think might relate to what this viewer is asking, is kind of like, okay, if we have a customer service solution that's tailored to our business, what's the process for getting Icera or an AI solution like this in place, where you've really got to migrate all that knowledge from people into the system and the processes that go along with it?
Very good question. Very good. So I think there are two parts on this that I'm going to answer. First is, how we do it and design is, we integrate with two areas. One is to your existing ticketing systems. So in this case, let's say Microsoft has a product called Dynamic CRM, or Salesforce, or Zendesk, or ServiceNow. You're familiar with it. In case of an engineering organization, we integrate with Jira, Flash and Jira system. Yep. Right? So we look at any, what do you call, the ticketing system. The second is any knowledge system. Knowledge could be SharePoint, your Office documents, your Confluence, your web content. So wherever you have a content source. So idea is to provide the knowledge integration and the ticketing system. Third is, I told you, right, the live agent conversations. Mm-hmm. So we integrate with the live agent phone systems, let's say Genesys, Avaya, any of those things. Then the last thing is in the IT resources. If I look at the question is, if you want to take a workflow, you have to have integration with all our IT systems. So I need to have integration with your Office 365, to your Azure, to your Active Directory. I need to have integrations with your Salesforce. So imagine your MDM, so that if you're the user request is, my phone is not working, I want to install a patch on my phone, so I should be able to do the VPN. So we, for us to take, depending on the request of the user, for us to act, we need to have integrations to a wide resources. So I think today we have maybe a little over like 1,200 different integrations in the product across various vendors, right? So it's not only you have understand your question, but if I don't act on it, I'm useless to you, Bob. So I need to have all the integrations to most enterprise systems and apps.
Yeah, so it's a big question and a big answer. I mean, how much initial and ongoing effort does that require then? And this is actually another audience question. To actually bring in Icera AI, does a customer need to dedicate an AI professional? Do you have professional services that come in and help? I mean, how does this actually get rolled out and trained and functional inside of an org?
No, yeah, very, very relevant and right question. So again, this is where earlier I was talking about one approach we took fundamentally, given my background, where I came from, right? I did not want to apply a very high professional services approach. So by applying this unsupervised technology, what I call the unsupervised NLP, all you do is it's a cloud service. First of all, it's running on the cloud, running on Azure. We point to your ticketing system and point to knowledge. And because it's not supervised, system is going to train and learn on the same day, actually. It's a day one solution. One of the marketing materials, we actually call it a zero-day AI, is a word that I use, Bob, to describe this. So just to create that, there is no consulting services, there's no PS involved. You need to give the credential to your ticketing system and knowledge base. Depending on, let's say you have a million articles or million documents or 1,000 URLs or 100,000 tickets a month, system will process them by volume. But the fastest we have onboarded people is in a few days. And we went live at a large pharmaceutical company during COVID into production in less than 2 weeks.
Wow. That's impressive.
Right. So I think, the approach we took is much different to make that happen. And what happens is at that point, you'll still get to a good resolution. Then you'll iterate on it. Remember, you're never going to get to 90% deflection on day one. Right. But we can get to a 40, 50% within the first 2 weeks.
So what does the customer have to be? Does the customer need an AI expert, or do they need a lot of, obviously connecting, finding the right content and feeding it in is a certain amount of effort. Is that an ongoing thing, or is that automated? And is that a huge...
Okay, I got your question. Yeah, no, very good. So we have something called AI learning. We call it AI learning, includes both the knowledge learning and ticket learning. There's no human involved. So we don't expect the customers to have any AI expert. You need to have a subject matter expert to provide access to your case system, ticketing system, your IT and knowledge. That's all we expect. And during onboarding, we also said that other than having 1 to 2 hours per week calls with us, we don't need more time or energy from system. It's fully, I can't stress this word again, it is truly unsupervised natural language processing applied where there's no human involved. I don't want you to be a tiger dad and a mom. I don't want you to teach me. Just give me access to your knowledge, leave me alone, and see what we can do.
That's great. I love this viewer question, this next one, because it really takes a step back and asks you as an expert now in AI and having built this system. So congratulations on getting your startup to where it is and being so successful. The viewer question is there anything that successful AI implementations and projects have in common in your view? What is the common success strategy, and what pitfalls would we want to avoid if you're building an AI system?
Very good. So one thing I'll say, look, right now, as I said, we have now close to 60 million users using our platform now over the last 3 years, right? And after we have various customers starting from New Jersey Transit Company. We have customers of the size like Autodesk. We have McAfee. We have a banking company called Dave.com. So looking at all these customers, what we realized is and what worked is, first is you want to have a leader, Bob, who is dedicated to making the project successful, right? You really want a person who is standing behind and say, look, I want to see through it. So it's important to have somebody and with a clear goals assigned to success of that organization. That is the number one that I saw for a success to all the projects is somebody's took on this as saying, this is my MBO, this is my company's behalf, and I want to do this thing to my users to improve the customer satisfaction or improve my automation to cut the cost, whatever that is. So that leader consistently standing behind the project is made the difference. The other thing, lesson that I've seen that people is access to data. Remember, at the end of the day, algorithms are as good as data that you provide. If you don't give the data, still the finger point to ISRA saying that we have a bad solution. And the data comes in, as I said, two parts. The knowledge, giving us relevant knowledge. So if you give your humans a good knowledge and give me the bad knowledge, I'm never going to be learned. So knowledge is very important. Along with the knowledge comes in is that historical cases. Because you are running your company, Bob, for last 10 years or 20 years. So if you don't give me how you ran your customer support cases and resolutions, I'm never going to learn. So don't handicap me, right? The more you give me your knowledge and historical cases or your live agent transcripts, the more system is going to learn. So I've been educating customers saying that data belongs to you. It does not belong to even Salesforce or ServiceNow or any of these ticketing systems. So it's a bill of rights for data for users. So each organization should demand that that data belongs to them and that is their oil. As long as they give that oil to us, we'll mine that. So
yeah,
those are two things, having a leader and having a good data.
That makes a ton of sense. And it reminds me of a story I heard from a friend who worked on a mapping solution. So it wasn't AI, but he said that people kept blaming his solution when it gave bad GPS directions. And the problems are always in the data. So if the map shows a road where there's no road, you're going to get bad directions. And if somebody trains the AI or feeds the data in they don't feed the right data into the AI, it's not going to work as well. It makes a ton of sense.
And also, absolutely. And one thing that Bob in that area is what I've seen is the data actually belongs to the enterprises and the customers.
Right.
So what they always think is the data belongs to the other vendors who are keeping in their SaaS products. That's not true. And maybe some people might have signed some contracts like that, but we are in the year of 2021, change. So you got to demand that the data belongs to you. So I think go back to your vendors who signed your technical system and say, hey, this data belongs to me. I want to give this to Bob and Madhu, right?
That's very true. So I have another viewer question, which is also a great one, I think, which is, can you provide an example of a successful implementation of AI into an existing customer care solution? So I guess the operative part here is that it was an existing solution and they successfully made that transition to the unsupervised AI.
Yeah, I don't know what you mean by existing. I can give you like a couple of examples that we've seen, right? Mm-hmm. See, for us, the example that we did recently with Microsoft is two vendors. One is New Jersey Transit. We did actually press release. Other one is a pharmaceutical company called Amgen, right?
Oh yeah.
Amgen during COVID and their Fortune 100 company. Yes. And they both are Microsoft Teams users, so Microsoft Teams heavily. And imagine during COVID, the amount of stress these companies have in terms of providing access to their employees. Both solutions are internal customer service use case where a help desk knowledge base was given. I think one of them had a ticketing system is from ServiceNow. Other one is maybe BMC. And Microsoft Teams was a channel along with, the knowledge base was across the board. It is Office documents, PDFs, it is SharePoint, it is web content. And then the actions were all over the place. There's Active Directory. Mm-hmm. There are all kinds of IT systems. You have Cisco VPN, you have Juniper, you have Okta. So the user request could be all over the place, because some of these organizations, I think one company is around 40,000 employees. So you could imagine worldwide 40,000 employees, 100 different countries, your request could be different. Not everybody will have the same English language, right? You may talk British English, I may talk Indian English, you may talk a Southern English, so it's the verbiage is different, so we have to support all of that. So those two are very good example of internal help desk that we did using Microsoft Teams and our solution.
That's great, very exciting. So here's, and this may be the last question we have time for. Another interesting one that's a little bit broader than just Icera, right? As AI becomes more powerful across society, it can also become more dangerous as a weapon. What are the security and ethical principles that Icera implements to protect the users?
Yeah, I mean, by the way, I came out of cybersecurity space before my previous startup was acquired by Splunk. So I ran a security group there. So I look, first is most of these solutions are still not at the point of where it's dangerous to society yet. But I think this where I think we should try to start this discussion as a public policy with both the Congress and public. I have to create some laws and regulations. But with the law, with the vendors as we provide, what I call it is, first of all, any security authentication should be, these solutions should work with the same security framework that you have. That is, the system should log in, allow Bob as an employee of that company, and with your credentials, you should be logged in. So your authentication, authorization, support should not change at all. On top of that, actually, these systems can be even more intelligent. You can even say, if you don't have access to this document, I won't be able to provide. So the access privilege can be now content-driven. So imagine you can say, if the content says top secret, and you don't have the top secret, Bob, I won't even review that content. So actually, you can use it to increase the security posture using these systems.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I think if you implement correctly, there's a positive side of this security posture, you can get the best. But look, there's always going to be negative sides to people try to exploit with hackers. There's nothing more than making a solution more robust throughout the way. And it's a game of hackers to implementing the security correctly. So that game is not going to stop. So I think you just have to be always one step ahead of the hackers.
Yeah, that makes sense. So we're almost at the end of our time. Do you have any final thoughts you want to leave the audience, and how can people learn more?
Oh, I mean, first of all, thank you, Bob and Jenny, for having us. It's been a privilege to talk to you today. The best way to learn about Icera is please visit www.icera.com. We'll be happy to showcase a demo. Also, go to Microsoft Teams Marketplace. Our solution available in Teams and Azure Marketplace. That's the best place. You can download, play with our product, and try it, and give us a feedback.
No, that's fantastic. And it's been a really interesting discussion. It was a pleasure to meet you, Mudu, and I really appreciate your, thank you so much for appearing on Learn TV and answering all these questions. I think you've inspired a lot of people to do more with AI and to think about your solution and in general, this type of AI solution. Appreciate that.
No, I enjoyed. Microsoft is a great partner for us, and thanks for having us today on TV, live TV channel today.
You bet. And thank you. Thank you all for watching. And I hope that you continue to watch Learn TV, and we'll see you next time here as we speak to more experts on Ask the Experts here on Learn TV.